It's 7 o'clock at WRJN. Hey, don't forget, right after 7 o'clock, I'll be giving you the next text word in our grown-up Christmas wish text-to-win contest, our statewide contest. You can win a great prize. I'll tell you what it is right after 7 o'clock. In the meantime, download the Civic Media app. Go to civicmedia.us, download the app. You'll see WRJN at the bottom. Click on WRJN and text the word I'm going to tell you right after 7 o'clock. Also joining me, Mike Bino from Our Wisconsin Magazine. Hopefully, he'll be doing most of the talking. That's all coming up right now at 7 o'clock.
Local news and timeless hits. WRJN, we're seeking ocean.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. An out-of-control wildfire that broke out in Malibu, California Monday night has now destroyed more than half a dozen homes and burned thousands of acres. Correspondent Jonathan Vigliotti.
About 700 firefighters trying to bring it under control.
Rest assured, we are going to have a coordinated air and ground assault on this fire for as long as it takes.
Linda Michelle fled in the dark.
Ambers were like flying everywhere in front of us. It's either die or live at that moment.
Nearly all of Malibu's residents were under an evacuation warning.
Sharon Dick Van Dyke, among them, the 98-year-old comedian, says he, his wife, and most of their animals got out safely. Their cat, Bobo, is still missing. The 26-year-old Luigi Mangione, charged with murder in the death of United Healthcare CEO, shouted and struggled as he was led into a Pennsylvania courthouse by police. CBS's Anna Schechter.
He was behaving erratically, unhinged. He was moving around. It seems like he's having like a mental health episode, even playing out on camera. So let's see how his defense attorney uses this to play into his defense.
Mangione is fighting extradition to New York, where the crime took place. Israel continues to hit targets in Syria after Sunday's fall of the Assad regime. Reporter Linda Gradstein from Jerusalem.
In a statement, the Israeli army said it had carried out over 350 strikes against what it called strategic targets. The army said it had taken out most of the strategic weapons stockpiles, including chemical weapons.
Christmas and Hanukkah are both 2 weeks from today, and Americans are getting ready to head out. CBS's Chris Van Cleve says AAA expects a record number of travelers.
107 million people will drive, and they're going to find gas prices around $3 a gallon. The nation's airlines expect to fly 54 million people. That would be a new record. One other category that's seen double-digit growth, according to AAA, they call it the other category. That's trains, buses, and cruise ships.
While a Bengals quarterback was busy on the field Monday night.
Time runs out. Burrow dumps it. And he's got his receiver.
Thieves were ransacking Joe Burrow's home near Cincinnati. CBS's Michael Wallace.
Burrow's girlfriend was at the house. Her mother called 911.
Yes, someone is trying to break into the house right now. My daughter is there.
The NFL and NBA have warned their players about burglars breaking into their homes while they're playing in games. Investigators suspect a South American crime ring.
Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes' homes were both targeted recently. S&P futures are up 5. Dow futures down 44. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. It was a two-car crash that had Spring Street slowed down last night. The collision on Spring near 51st Drive saw a Toyota and a GMC SUV involved. Some kids were in the Toyota, and one of those passengers was taken to the hospital for evaluation. Traffic on Spring was impacted for a few hours last night. It'll be a weather roller coaster for temperatures this week. Temps will be plummeting to single digits tomorrow and potentially reaching the teens, with wind chills dropping into the negative territory. A quick warm-up is expected, with temperatures back to the 30s by Friday and back near 40 over the weekend. There could be a rain-snow mix Friday. The latest is coming up in the forecast. Those needing help with the coming cold can call 211 for more information about warming centers. The image of a wanted Racine man is up online. Racine police and U.S. Marshals are asking people to look at the pictures of 36-year-old George Mitchell Jr. He's wanted for attempted homicide and multiple weapons charges stemming from an incident in Racine back in April. Mitchell has ties to Racine, Kenosha, and Northern Illinois, and he is considered armed and dangerous. And following a fire at a Kenosha assisted living facility, a donation drive has been launched. Frontita Azalea Place had a fire in their attic Friday night. They've got a donation drive going to help displaced residents. The sprinkler system in that facility did limit the damage Friday night. The need in this donation drive is for clothing, personal care items, and electronics. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
The Badgers lose again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, a bit of a shocker. Wisconsin could not keep up and lost to the Fighting Illini in Champaign, 86-80. Badgers head coach Greg Gard asked if he was surprised how well unranked Illinois played against them.
I think there's a lot of parity across the league. I don't know if there's a dominant team. I mean, I haven't seen them all exclusively, but there's a lot of really good teams, but we've got a long ways to go.
The Badgers have now lost three in a row. NBA, the Bucks earned a trip to the NBA Cup semifinals in Las Vegas by beating the Orlando Magic at home, 114-109. The Bucks will face either the Knicks or the Hawks Saturday in the tournament. NFL, the Packers play the Seahawks Sunday night. Safety Zane Anderson on what they saw on film in their loss to the Lions in Detroit.
It's frustrating watching some of the film. Just there's some plays out there, just details of where we need to be. So there's some stuff to clean up, but it's 1 week at a time.
At safety Zane Anderson with sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Cloudy, becoming windy with falling temperatures and a few off and on light snow showers today. We're going to drop into the mid-teens by late afternoon. The wind will be out of the west, gusting between 20 and 30 by late today. Tonight, windy down to 2 above. Tomorrow, sunshine and colder with a high of 15. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 28.
I have friends who like to tell me about their dreams. You guys have friends like that tell you about their dreams? They're always so excited, right? People always get so excited about their dream. Everyone thinks theirs is the weirdest. I had the weirdest dream. No, come on, it was so weird, come on. And it's always this boring story, right? Like, oh, we were on this boat going down a river, but it was a river of gravy. How weird is that? And we weren't using an oar, it was a Q-tip. How weird is that? Be like, it isn't weird at all. It's boring. There's a reason you were asleep during this. I'm dozing off just listening to you.
All right, you know what it's time for? All right, it's if I can croak it out of my voice here, it's time for our keyword in our State to Win contest. This is the, boy, I'm telling you, it's tough being a DJ with no voice, huh? It's our grown-up gift list text to win contest on WRJN. Here's what you do. You go download the Civic Media app, go to our civicmedia.us, and what you do is you download the app, and at the bottom you'll see WRJN. You click on that, and you text this word I'm going to tell you right now. The word is bells, B-E-L-L-S, bells, all right? Text that keyword right now, and you'll be in the running for, in this hour, we're giving away, ooh, an overnight vacation getaway. So text the keyword bells, B-E-L-L-S. Again, download the Civic Media app, civicmedia.us. You'll see the app, download it, or any app store. Download the app, you'll see WRJN there, and you will... You'll click on WRJN, and you'll, I'm looking for Mike Bino with our guest. He's not there. He's not there yet. And you'll text that keyword, bells. You have this hour to do it, okay? Bells, that's a keyword. So text to us, all right? While we're waiting for Mike Bino, we got the Beatles and Twist and Shout at WRJN. Let's take it.
Let's
Twist and Shout. I had a little talk with Mike Bino from Our Wisconsin Magazine. He's going to have to do most of the talking this morning, so I hope you're ready. Now
I'm all, I'm set to go.
Now, I normally wouldn't do this, but it's kind of an odd situation. You have flying squirrels in the attic where you work.
We got bats in our belfries. So we are, to set the scene here, I am in far northern Wisconsin where it's going to drop to below zero tonight. I'm in the woods. I'm near in Manitowish Waters, not far from upper Michigan. And we've got visitors in our office ceiling, Rocky the Flying Squirrel and all his friends. And so I've been in a pitched battle with them, trying to stay ahead of these guys and get them out of here and back out in the woods where they belong. But I guess that kind of goes with it when you move up here to the land of otters and bald eagles and all those sorts of things. The wildlife wants to come on in and live with you. And Don, like I said, if you want to make some chili, I will send a bunch of these down to you. We skin them out. We cook some up.
No. I remember seeing a Columbo episode where there was the episode with Johnny Cash. And Columbo goes to a party, and he says, "This chili's good." And one of the guys says, "Yeah, the secret recipe is squirrel meat." And Columbo's,
"Yeah,
do you remember that?"
Burgoo.
And he puts it down. He says, "Oh, that's what I taste." now, why don't you just, can you seal it off so they can't get in?
That's what I think needs to happen. They have those little one-way doors. You find the hole. You put this little one-way door, which is in a looks like a bird cage, and they come out at night. During the day, they evacuate. They try to get back in at night. They can't get in. Then you seal up the hole. That's the way to work at it. So, but I'm too busy putting out a magazine up here in the woods to get up on the ladder that often.
Are you working on the February issue now?
We sure are. Wow. We work far ahead in the ink and paper world, and it's we're about 10 days out from deadline to turn in our files to the printer.
We've been subscribing since day one. Our Wisconsin Magazine is just what it sounds like. It's all about Wisconsin and the people and the places and where you can go. Even the ads are all about Wisconsin. But the best part is it's a high-gloss magazine. It's not like one of those paper magazines where the ink comes off on your fingers. It's high-gloss, and it's just a wonderful magazine to have. As a matter of fact, if you're looking for a Christmas gift, a subscription to this that goes all year long, and I really urge it. And we're going to tell people how to get it a little later on. But I want to talk about some of the articles in here. We're going to get to the one about people's horrible snowstorms, because I've got a story attached to that. But how the little dog saved Christmas. You've got a picture here of this adorable dog. What's that about?
Well, Christmas time, the December, January issue we're talking about now, and it's the current one that just came out on the streets. And as we head toward Christmas, the stories from our readers become a little bit more nostalgic, and that's not surprising. This issue in December, with some of the Christmas content in it, I would say is the most nostalgia heavy issue in the year. We're a current day magazine, but we asked the readers to share stories, the readers themselves, there's 100,000 of them across the state mostly, and in other states, but to share their stories about what makes their corner of Wisconsin the very best place to live. It's a celebration, really, a positive magazine. And a woman from Rhinelander, Three Lakes, just down the road from Rhinelander. Susan Cordula sent us a story about Christmas in 1962 in Wauwatosa. The family was traveling to Wauwatosa where her grandparents lived. She was 8 years old at the time in 62, and she was all excited about Christmas time. And on the way to the grandpa's house, grandmother's house, they learned that there had been a small fire there. Okay, it wasn't enough to take away their home. It didn't hurt anybody, but it caused put a crimp in their Christmas. The Christmas tree went up, and the living room was well smoked, and the drapes and all that, and the handmade sweaters from Grandma for everybody under the tree, and the other gifts were just no more. The firemen came in and took care of it, but you know the mess after a fire in a house, and in the aftermath, if there's some cleanup to go with it. And Christmas was not to be, at least the way they hoped that year. And so everybody, the relatives, got into that house in Wauwatosa and cleaned up. And Grandpa was on the phone with the insurance company, and the families got the buckets and the scrub brushes, and they hauled the old furniture and stuff out, and they're cleaning it, and it's wintertime, and it's Christmas Day, and it's not a whole lot of fun. And but they're getting the job done. They're working as a family. They aren't going to have a Christmas goose or turkey. Might be some ham sandwiches thrown together while they're scrubbing. They take a break and step outside, and the remnants of the tree is there, kind of charred pieces and some tinsel lying in the snow. And her mother, Susan's mother, she's 8 years old at the time, Susan's mother spots something down the sidewalk there in the remnants of this tree. And it's a little piece of red ribbon, and she gets a little closer and looks, and there's this small stuffed furry dog ornament that was lying amid the charcoal, but it had survived. And so her mother, while all of this is going on, this cleanup, takes a break and takes this little dog in, because she knew it was a special ornament when she was growing up, and it would mean something to her mother, Grandma. She brought in this little dog. He kind of had an injured paw or whatever, but she took some small brushes and fluffed him up and cleaned him up and straightened him out a little bit, and maybe clipped away a little singed fur and got him looking presentable again, and brought him in. And at the end of Christmas Day, it was pretty much under control again. They'd gotten, maybe it was a day beyond that, gotten the floor cleaned up, and Grandpa went out and got a Charlie Brown Christmas tree from the tree lot down the street, which had nearly none left, probably none, and he got a remnant maybe for free. And he brought this home with some closeout Christmas ornaments he bought down the road at the store, just a little string of them, lights, and maybe a couple of cut rate of a clear amount, blow them out ornaments. And they put that together. And they had their sandwiches, and they put that little dog in a place of honor atop that little Christmas tree and salvaged Christmas. Now, that's Christmas in 1962. Susan is saying, she's remembered back to 8 years old, that was by far the most memorable and best Christmas that they had. And to this day, that dog is sitting on Grandma's nightstand. She would not part with it. She's 99 years old and still looks at it every day.
And to tell you what, it looks real in the picture, too. Doesn't look like an ornament. We're talking to Mike Beano from Our Wisconsin Magazine. More with Mike coming up in just a moment. And for every little girl that wanted a pony for Christmas, well, we got a great story for you in just a moment. Don't forget about our grown-up Christmas list, all right? Our text to win contest on WRJN. This hour's keyword, boy, it's tough reading when you have no voice. This hour's keyword for you is bells, B-E-L-L-S, bells. Download the Civic Media app. Go to our website, civicmedia.us, and you'll download the app. CWRJN at the bottom. See our call letters. Click on it. You'll see a text. And text the word bells. And you only have to do it once. And you'll be in the running for an overnight vacation getaway, right? Yeah. Bells. That's the keyword. You'll be texting this hour on the app. But right now, got some entertainment news for you.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Incredibly underrated actress Linda Cardellini has agreed to join the cast of HBO's DTF St. Louis. The three-time Emmy-nominated Cardellini joins series regulars Jason Bateman and David Harbour. According to Variety, DTF St. Louis is a dark comedy and will broadcast 7 episodes. The show tells the story of a midlife crisis love triangle where one character ends up dead. Cardellini has been cast in the role of Carol. Harbour and Bateman are also executive producers. The show is currently in pre-production. Jamie Foxx has finally revealed during a stand-up comedy special what his illness was a couple years ago. The comedian who told the crowd how happy he was to be back also revealed what he was suffering from, a brain bleed. Fox went into surgery and says he woke up 20 days later with no idea of what happened. If you want to hear more about Fox's ordeal, check out his comedy special, which is currently streaming on Netflix. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The holidays are here, and Ferraro's has the comfort food to keep you warm and cozy. This season of giving, get more for your money. Buy $100 in gift cards with cash, and Ferraro's will throw in a bonus $20 gift card. Don't forget to check out Ferraro's delicious frozen pizzas, perfect for carryout, your next fundraiser, or your festive holiday gathering. Serving up the flavor Racine craves this holiday season. Slide on by for the best pizza pie at Ferraro's. Meacham Road, just north of Taylor Avenue.
This holiday season, make memories that last a lifetime at Gateway Classic Cars. Make this special time of the year merry and bright. Explore our spacious showroom packed with vintage cruisers, roaring muscle cars, trucks, and exotic dream machines. With a stunning selection and knowledgeable staff, Gateway Classic Cars is your destination to find a timeless, stylish gift for any classic car lover at any age. Visit the showroom on 4 Mile Road in Caledonia or gatewayclassiccars.com, where holiday dreams take the wheel.
An estimated 200 people in Racine County are experiencing homelessness. And with the winter fast approaching, Fountain Hills Apartments is collecting new socks to help keep them warm. We invite you to join us in supporting those less fortunate this winter season. Fountain Hills Apartments is accepting new socks for men and women Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at 1100 Fountain Hills Drive, Mount Pleasant, now through December 26th.
Thanks to Total Wine, you saved more on all the gifts for the ones you adore. Wine, spirits, beers all nestled on shelves.
Curbside pickup available and the lowest prices for over 30 years only at Total Wine and More.
Drink responsibly. Be 21.
Need parts now? O'ReillyAuto.com offers in-store pickup, same-day home delivery, or next-day home shipping. Get more parts your way at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Day number 7 of the WRJN 12 Deals of Christmas. Von Hassel Jewelers, designing and crafting custom certified jewelry in downtown Racine for over 20 years. This holiday season, say I love you with a gift that sparkles with meaning. Save big on a stunning necklace, engagement ring, anniversary piece, or other one-of-a-kind fine jewelry. Perfect for that special someone. Go to WRJN.com, click the Big Deals banner, and purchase a $400 gift certificate for just $200. Today only with the WRJN 12 Deals of Christmas.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
News and timeless hits on WRJN. Not only that, but WRJN is your home for all the big sports you want to follow. The Packers, the Brewers, the Badgers, football and basketball, and high school sports too with Dick Graceffa. It's sports along with your local news and timeless hits.
WRJN. The rest of the story. Each year, a surprising number of troubled people arrive alone at the doorstep of a mental health center somewhere and with fear and trembling institutionalize themselves. In May of 89, Dr. Pyron was director of such a facility, and he was visited in his office by one such troubled individual. There was hopelessness in the man's eyes as he described the path that had led him to this place. For years he had been plagued by invisible phantoms, sounds that seemed very real, but coming from nowhere. Furthermore, real sounds from real sources seemed alternately intolerably loud and utterly imperceptible. And then there was the awful dizziness, often accompanied by nausea, even vomiting, a condition so severe that the slightest motion might set it off. But the man seemed well enough at the moment, Dr. Pyron observed. Indeed, was the answer, the dreadful symptoms would disappear for months at a time, only to recur worse than before. Dr. Pyron asked if the man had sought treatment for the malady. Oh, yes, he had gone to a regular hospital, but the doctors there were unable to help him. All he could think to do now, possessing neither the strength nor the courage to live independently, was to commit himself to the mental health facility and hope for a cure. From what Dr. Pyron had heard, there was no doubt in his mind the man was epileptic. The symptoms he had enumerated seemed obviously indicative. The doctor concurred that prolonged observation was advisable, so the patient was promptly admitted to this mental health facility. But, well, this is the rest of the story. 8 years previous to what you've just heard, one of our nation's leading neurologists, Dr. Charles Charcot, published a series of papers on diseases of the nervous system. And in two of those theses, Charcot described something called Meniere's vertigo. The disorder was not then widely known, and yet had Dr. Pyron read those articles, he would surely have recognized the symptoms expressed by his patient, that they were not symptoms of epilepsy at all. Meniere's disease is characterized by painful ringing or buzzing in the ear, alternating hearing loss, and intolerance to noise. Attacks of disabling dizziness called vertigo. The auditory hallucinations are sometimes so terrible that
Well, I think we just lost Paul Harvey right in the middle. I guess we did. I'm sorry about that. Paul Harvey, the rest of the story. We'll have to fix that sometime and see what we come up with. No, he's not there. All right, let's remind you our grown-up gift list, our text-to-win contest here at WRJM. This hour's keyword is Bells, B-E-L-L-S, Bells. Download the Civic Media app. Go to civicmedia.us and download the Civic Media app, and there you'll see WRJM at the bottom. Click on it. You'll see the text button, text Bells to us, and you'll be in the running for today's prize, which is a nice overnight vacation getaway. Yeah. So we've had some winners so far, and we'll run over some names a little later on. But right now, it's 729. Let's check news. Here's Stuart.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Fire Station Number 4 in Racine is now home to Wisconsin's third safe haven baby box. That's meant to provide a secure and anonymous option for parents to surrender newborns. The temperature-controlled box, equipped with a laser detection system and alarm, ensures immediate care for surrendered infants. The installation follows recent changes in Wisconsin law allowing such devices. More boxes are planned across the state. A temperature swing is expected to hit the area this week. Temps will be plummeting to single digits tomorrow, and wind chills could drop into the negative territory. You can anticipate a rapid warm-up by Friday, with temperatures back to near 30 and maybe near 40 over the weekend. The latest is coming up in the forecast. Those needing help with the coming cold can call 211 for details about warming centers. You may have seen the security images from a Racine restaurant. The pictures put out by police show a group of women causing a disturbance at La Tapatia. Those women are currently under investigation after an alleged shoplifting incident at the restaurant turned confrontational. It's reported that an employee saw the women trying to shoplift, which led one of the suspects to start throwing stuff at the worker. Law enforcement has confirmed that they've identified the suspects and they're working to secure a warrant. And some of the fake stuff will have to do if you hit the slopes. Wilmot Mountain in Kenosha County is back open. The reopening comes as dastardly cold temperatures impact the area. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
Well, we got a World Ag Supply and Demand report out yesterday, and the U.S. Department of Agriculture sees more corn exports in our future. I'm PM Yankee, starting you off before the opening bell on a Wednesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, says that's fine as long as the geopolitical situation globally stays safe.
You watch the geopolitical side of things. Obviously, we got some events in Syria that are concerning, and you know what's happening there. Does that come into play in terms of the Black Sea and you know the movement of grains through that area? So that's something we'll have to keep an eye on. But right now, at least things are kind of flowing. Seems like Panama Canal is working fine. The Mississippi River is working fine, at least in terms of water levels compared to where we were a handful of months ago. So at least at this moment, things are moving fairly nicely. But obviously, those geopolitical events, especially this time of year, can be very shocking to the market. As trade gets a little bit thinner and things are, the market will be watching them very, very closely.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. Yesterday's World Ag Supply Demand Report also found greater use of corn in ethanol and lower ending stocks. Not much to report as far as the soybean side of that report. So did it influence the numbers that we're dealing with on a Wednesday morning? We'll check that out next.
Did you know you can build a water and nutrient superhighway in your soil? You just need the Maximum Acre Solution from Sound Agriculture. The easiest way to maximize your crop's access to nutrients all season long. How does it work? First, Source turns your soil into a nutrient factory, activating microbes that supply nitrogen, phosphorus, and micronutrients. Then Blueprint builds the delivery network. It provides a beneficial fungi called AMF, a powerful biological partner that plants rely on for macronutrients, micronutrients, and water. When used with Source, Blueprint expands the crop's reach beyond the roots, helping it access nutrients and water when they're needed most. For the Maximum Acre Solution that leads to bigger, healthier, and more productive plants, Source it with Blueprint. Talk to your dealer or visit sound.ag.
Fairly quiet on the dairy front yesterday. Barrel cheese on Tuesday was down a quarter of a cent, 168 and three quarters, while the AA butter and the 40-pound block cheese both stood still. So, on a Wednesday morning, right now, we've got March corn unchanged, 449. December new crop up a penny at 443. January soybeans are down a penny and a half at 993, with November beans unchanged at 1010. March wheat, penny and a half higher right now at 563. July new crop up two at 579. The January class 3 milk that goes into cheese down 7 right now, 1918 a hundredweight. Just a quick Wednesday market snapshot. I'm PM Yankee.
Cloudy, becoming windy with falling temperatures and a few off and on light snow showers today. We're going to drop into the mid-teens by late afternoon. The wind will be out of the west, gusting between 20 and 30 by late today. Tonight, windy down to 2 above. Tomorrow, sunshine and colder with a high of 15. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 28.
Don Rosen in the morning.
Mike Bino from Our Wisconsin Magazine is here. The new issue came out, the December-January issue, and we're talking about some of the stories in there. And I remember the Michael Murphy song from the 1970s, Wildfire. She ran calling Wildfire. And for every little girl that wanted a pony or a horse for Christmas, this girl got one, huh?
That's for sure. This is another heartstring story that came to us as we're heading toward the Christmas season, shared by reader, our Wisconsin Magazine reader, Rita Cox of Mindoro. Mindoro's in the western side of the state, a little bit north and east of La Crosse. Rural crossroads there, really, in farm country. And Rita remembers 1975, 50 years ago, that Christmas. She and her husband, William, had a little hobby farm there, but they're not horse people. They still live on that same hobby farm she's talking about, going back to 1975, and they're raising their daughters there. Diane was one of them. She's age 12 back then. And you just nailed it when you said there is a generation of women now who used to be little girls back in 1975 who listened to Michael Murphy's song before he was Michael Martin Murphy, about Wildfire, the horse that became a ghost horse with the girl who ran into the blizzard to find him, and they come riding down as ghosts from the mountain. So Diane, the daughter, age 12, was touched by that song, but she had a couple of neighbors that were horse people, and her parents were not. She was spending every spare moment she had at their stalls, the stable, riding, and she's cleaning stalls, and she's helping with chores, and she's going to horse shows with the neighbors, loving their horses. Her parents did not have any, and she was just enthralled with these animals. And she's begging, they had a pony, and she was begging her parents to buy this pony. She named it Wildfire, hanging around it so much, not surprisingly. And Mom politely kept ignoring these repeated begging requests. The neighbors are Shirley and Doyle next door. And so Mom got a little idea, and she conspired with Shirley and Doyle and to tell daughter Diane, you know, Wildfire had been sold, and there was going to be leaving as soon as he was old enough to be weaned. And it broke this little girl's heart, but she continued to go visit him, and the future didn't look bright. So they had the family Christmas, and Diane went along with her parents to candlelight service at church, and they would get a bag filled with candy and some apples and peanuts, and they did that. And after the service, they're heading home. The girls are going to go to bed for Christmas morning, and they're approaching home, and William says, wait a minute, we're going to drive into town, take Dad, and we're going to take a look at the Christmas lights. And the girls are going, well, he glanced up at their barn and saw lights on in there, and he realized they they were unloading this horse for her. So he took them out to see the Christmas lights, and they did all that, and then they went home. And, we got to go and feed the beef cattle. And so they, you know, before they go to bed, they got a few chores, and they head out to the barn. And here she opens the door, and here's this pony, Wildfire, standing there with ribbons in his mane and in his tail. The neighbors had it all set up, and thrilled this young girl, Diane, she was 12, thrilled her. And to this day, and she had her stall and put hearts all over it and loved her horse. That goes back 50 years. That remains her most precious Christmas in her mind to this day. She's now a mother, Diane, and her son, Nick, is a rodeo cowboy. And he's living out west, and this December, he's in the 8th National Finals competition, a rodeo that he's ridden.
Wow.
In Las Vegas. He's been a pro for 18 years. So Wildfire, I guess, that horse to a non-horse family is a gift that keeps giving.
Everybody's got a blizzard story in them. I have a blizzard story. Everybody who lives up in Wisconsin has a blizzard story. You put some of them together in here, huh?
Yeah, a blizzard story. So we have a little department, and again, this magazine relies on its readers for its content, most of it, stories, photos, what have you. So we have a department in the December, January issue, the worst winter ever, where readers share memories of cold and snow and the determination of some tough people who pulled through, and how did they do that? And they'll send us pictures of buried cars or snow drifting up to the tops of power lines. And seems like the 1940s, they got an awful lot of snow. And there's one story in particular where a lady named Nancy Schumacher from Fond du Lac, she's remembering in Lima, Wisconsin, she was in fourth grade, 1947, and they were on a farm living out there in the middle of the country, and her dad was on his way to Milwaukee with a neighbor for an egg delivery, and their mom was a teacher in the one-room school, Spring Farm School, which was 7 miles away. So the parents were out, and the person who sent this story, Nancy, and her brother Willard, were home at the farm. They decided, you know, they'd best do some chores. The parents weren't around, and they should have been, you know, normally would be back from their jobs. So the two kids finished milking the cows, and this blizzard is coming on, and the neighbors are checking around to see if everybody's okay, and they find these two kids at the farm alone, and night is coming on. Luckily, they had electricity because the neighbors didn't. And the neighbors had to milk their cows by hand. So, these kids decided, or with the neighbors, maybe it would be best if they stayed at the neighbor's place with the adults. And so, they did that. Finally, it took the parents days to get back home through the snow. It's getting stuck on the way back to the farm, you know, trying to get to their kids. The kids were okay. They were they stayed with the neighbors, and when the parents came back, they had stories about being stranded along the road getting back home. Their dad made it back from Milwaukee as far as Waldo, north of there, and they stayed there. There was a place called Wilhelmina Schneider's Tavern along the road, and many people took refuge there. They weren't customers or anything. It was the only building available while these roads were closing down. So, like you said, eventually the parents made it home a couple of days later. Thanks to the neighbors, the kids had a place to be, and they lived happily ever after. But this memory from 1947 is pretty durable. They're sharing it very vividly today.
I'll give you one that I'll submit next year. It's from 2011. It happened on Groundhog Day here in Racine. We had 24 inches of snow. Now, you got to know, I live about 12 minutes from here. It took me almost 3 hours to get out of my driveway and get here to the station. And so I was following a police car down Main Street, and the roads weren't plowed because it was just coming down so fast, 50-mile-an-hour winds. And I eventually lost sight of the police car.
Wow.
And I'm going over the Main Street Bridge, and I couldn't see the sides of the bridge. And I was panicking. I mean, I didn't know if I was going to go off the bridge. So I got on the other side of the bridge, got down on Highway 20, and I'm traveling down. I can't see anything. The street lights aren't even visible now because the snow is blowing so much. I tried to get down Ohio Street. The radio station's on Victory. I tried to get down Ohio Street. It was up to my waist almost. So I said, I got to back up on the street, follow my tracks back, and I did. And this is all going on at like 6 in the morning, 5 in the morning. I get to Walgreens, the 24-hour Walgreens, and I go in there, and I said, I got to park my car here. I can't make it to work. He said, all right, just park it against the wall, the outside wall. And I load up. My wife gave me bags of canned food. I don't know where she thought I was going, to the Himalayas or something, but I made it down across the Highway 20, across the street, and I'm going down Ohio, and I get knocked down in the snowdrift. And I get up, and I say, I don't know where I am. It's just blowing so hard. And I walk 9/10 of a mile to the radio station, and Tom Carco, our news guy, had shoveled a path just the width of the shovel. And he met me at the door and got me a glass of water. Now, what I didn't know, on February 2nd, 2011, I'd be having to go to major heart surgery on April 5th, 2011. My heart was failing, and I didn't know it. The surgeon said, you are lucky you didn't die in that snowdrift, because your heart could not take that. It did for some reason. I don't know if there was divine intervention, but I made it. And he said, you're going in for heart surgery. So 2 months after that, I did. But I made it in there. That was just, it was so scary that I couldn't believe it. There's no end to the walking because it was up to my waist at sometimes, these drifts. And I'd throw the bag of food in front, keep walking, and try to get ahead of it. And for anybody stuck in a snowstorm, and these stories are really, you know, you read them now and they seem nostalgic. But when you're going through it, it's not nostalgic. It's scary. You ever stuck in a snowstorm?
I was. Luckily, I have not been that disoriented in a snowstorm. And I'm going to share one that came from a reader. It was in a...
Hold on. We're going to share that story in just a moment. I'm holding on to that story. Another horror story about snowstorms. And I'm sure everybody's got a blizzard in them, like I said. All right. I'm going to try to let you do most of the talking for the rest of the show. Because as you can hear, don't have any voice left. But I got to tell you, our grown-up gift list text to win contest underway this hour. I want you to text the word BELLS, B-E-L-L-S, B-E-L-L-S, BELLS, and text it by going to our website, civicmedia.us, download the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your apps, just download the Civic Media app. At the bottom, you'll see WRJN, and click on text, and text us BELLS this hour only. BELLS, and you'll be in the running for an overnight vacation getaway. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Runnings in Burlington wants to help you check everything off your holiday list and save big while you're at it. This Sunday is Runnings' 10% off almost anything sale. Whether it's power tools for the handyman, cozy gear for the outdoor adventurer, holiday decor for the home, or supplies for your furry friends, don't miss the chance to give the gift of quality and savings. 10% off almost anything store-wide for one day only at Runnings in Burlington on Milwaukee Avenue. They're your trusted partner for all your home, farm, and outdoor needs.
Sick of campaign ads? I bet. But Racine County needs you at the polls on December 19th to vote for Ralph Malicki for county executive. Ralph stands for fiscal responsibility, collaboration, and economic development. Exactly the leadership Racine County needs to build for tomorrow. The South Shore Realtors Association supports Ralph Malicki. So should you. On December 19th, it's time to be picky. Vote for Ralph Malicki. Paid for by the Wisconsin Realtors Political Fund. Not authorized by any candidate, candidate's agent, or committee.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
Ho-ho, the holidays are here, and it's time to pick a present from the grown-up gift list with Civic Media's statewide text-to-win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of the grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on the grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win in the statewide contest. Ho-ho-ho!
And this hour, the keyword is BELLS, BELLS. So get the app and text that keyword BELLS this hour.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. On my YouTube channel, I recently talked to Amanda Klayman, a financial therapist and an all-around excellent person. We talked about how to reduce money anxiety, and her advice was really helpful. She said, unless we have a time to do money, we don't have a time to not do money. Meaning, if we set aside some time to think about and manage our money, it lets our brain stop worrying about money all the time. For example, I have a monthly money meeting with myself, which lowers my money anxiety and helps keep me on top of my finances. If you don't already, set and keep that money meeting with yourself. It'll help your wallet and your peace of mind. Remember what Amanda said, unless you have a time to do money, you don't have a time to not do money. For more everyday money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Don Rosen in the morning. WRJN.
We're talking to Mike Bino, editor of Our Wisconsin Magazine. We're talking about some of the blizzard stories that people have in there. And I told him, everybody's got a blizzard story. You have one too, right?
The one that was most memorable to me, shared by our readers, came from a person who remembered her relative living up in Kewaunee County, just before Door, in the, on the peninsula, on the Bay of Green Bay. Her grandfather ran Shudor's Dock there, which is north of Dykesville, and she remembered his story from going back to about 1913 of a man named Gabriel from that area, and Gabriel was in the village of Suamico over on the west shore of Green Bay visiting people. In those days of horse and buggy travel, where towns were about 7 miles apart, that's about the distance a horse could go for it needed water and a rest, it was pretty common for people to walk on foot fairly far. And this gentleman had taken a winter hike over to Suamico. It's when the bay is frozen, it's not all that far away. You don't have to drive all the way around through Green Bay. It's probably about 12 miles across at that point, I'm thinking. And it was a Sunday, and he decided to head back home. Sunny, nice day. All you have to do is walk east, and you can see forever until a storm comes up. And the man was walking on his journey home, 12 miles, and snowstorm came up, okay. Well, he could still navigate pretty well because it was daylight, and he had a sense of which direction he should be going, and he was making progress, but all of a sudden he's unsure. Is he still heading east? Where is he? Well, maybe it'll clear a little bit. And the hours went by, and it's starting to get dark, and now he's more than concerned, because if you get stuck and you don't know which way you're going in the dark on the Bay of Green Bay, you could be walking to Ontario, and I guarantee you, you're not going to make it there. Gabriel is out on the ice walking. Now, this woman's grandfather, who was at Shudor's Dock, had a dog named Puggy, and Puggy wasn't very friendly. She didn't like to go to Grandpa's house because Puggy wouldn't be very welcoming. He knew where the lot lines were, and he wasn't letting anyone in until the people there in the house knew, and he could be a little frightening. This man is on the ice, and he's walking, and he starts calling desperately, and he's that's all he can do. In the dark, which way? In the snow. Suddenly, off in the distance, as he's calling, he hears a dog bark. Okay, so he starts calling, and every time he called, that dog would bark, and he'd start heading in that direction in the dark. And Grandpa came out to let Puggy in, and he heard the dog barking a little bit, and he was wondering why the dog wouldn't come in. But he knew the dog was around, so he left him out there for a while. And little by little, Gabriel, staggering in the snow with no energy left at night in a blizzard, in the wind, finally can make out the shape of trees on the shore of Green Bay, on the east shore. Drags himself up onto land, and here's Puggy barking. Puggy leads him up to the house. And he stands there at the door and pounds, and Grandpa opens it, the fire in there, and it's nice and warm, sees this apparition out there, this snowman, drags the half-dead man into the house and gets him warmed and all of that. And Gabriel said to him in the morning, they let him stay there, obviously, says, "I'd like to buy that dog from you." And he said, "I'm not selling that dog for all the money in the world."
The dog has saved his life.
Yes.
So you've got all these great dog stories this morning. A lot of great recipes for the holiday season in this issue. Let's talk about it. This is the cranberry pie guy. Talk about this. You call him a rookie in baking, but let's talk about him.
Marv Kolbeck is age 93, and he lives in Pittsville. He's one of our readers. Interesting fellow. He was an extension agent in that neck of the woods for agricultural extension agent in 1961. And he would go on, his job is education, and he had a background in dairy farming, but he had a lot to learn when he moved to cranberry country, learned how to raise cranberries, learned about the culture around them, and Wisconsin is the number one producer of cranberries in the nation. 60% of the national harvest comes from right here. So Marv was promoting cranberries, and he got the idea from a home economics extension agent, Loretta Zastro, that he should go on television in Wausau, 1961. They had a noon show. Buck Leverton had a noon show there. And it was news and weather and the farm reports, and they would have a little educational piece, a little music. And Marv Kolbeck was challenged by this home economics agent, Loretta Zastro, to go on television live and bake a cranberry pie. Well, he'd never baked a pie in his life, much less on live television. But the people, and he balked, but the people leaned on him and told him he had to do it. He says, all right, I'll do it. So they gave him a chef's hat and said, show up at this time and bring your cranberries. Loretta gave him a recipe. So he sets off in his vehicle, 1961. He's gave himself a lot of time. He's going to drive from his office in Pittsville, Wood County, near Wisconsin Rapids, to Wausau. And he's got his boxes of gear. Now, what got me here is he's got all his recipe ingredients and his pie utensils and his things he's going to do to demonstrate. And he brings a camp stove and fuel. Now, to a TV studio with fake curtains and stuff like this, would they do that today? I mean, you know, this is the early 60s, at the beginning of TV, really. And he hauls this camp stove up there, and he's on his way, and he's so nervous, a driver starts waving to him, oncoming, so it catches attention. He's, what's wrong? He stops. Well, he had two boxes of his stuff, and one was still on the roof of his car. He's heading out of town. Stops, collects it, gets to the station. All is well. He's unloading his boxes to set up his demonstration table. And he finds out one of the boxes, there was an aerosol can of whipped cream. His loading and reloading had knocked the top off it, and it discharged most of its contents onto his stuff.
Oh, boy.
So he's cleaning up. He gets it all set. Finally, he's standing there nervously, sweating, waiting for the director's cue to start making a pie. And that part went off okay. It went off okay. He did get through it. And he said what saved him was that he stood there first and fessed up all his blunders, and that resulted in he got 96 phone calls and letters asking for the recipe for his cranberry walnut pie. And that's successful. And on page 12 of our December-January issue, we've got
That recipe.
Cranberry walnut pie.
How do people, now this is just the tip of the iceberg in this issue. How do people subscribe?
Okay, you can call and grab a pen, please. You can call 877-717-8925.
Say it again.
Okay, 877-717-8925.
You have a website where they can just go to anyway, right?
We do, you can go to ourwisconsinmag.com.
It's always great talking to you, man. I just wish I had a better voice today.
Don, hey, Don, you talk for a living. I know you're going to bounce back. You've done it a long time very successfully. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, take care of those squirrels. I want an update next time we talk to you.
You got it.
There's squirrels in the attic. Thank you, Mike. Have a nice Christmas.
You too. Merry Christmas,
you
Don.
Too. Bye-bye now. All right. It's 8 o'clock at WRJN.
Local news and timeless hits. WRJN. Racine, Kenosha.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by T-Mobile.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Cher and Dick Van Dyke are among more than 20,000 people who've been evacuated from their homes in Malibu, California,
because of an explosive wildfire that broke out Monday night. It's being fueled by strong Santa Ana winds. Correspondent Carter Evans is on the front lines.
It is now burned all the way to the Pacific Ocean. We've got high winds, low humidity, perfect for a fire like this. Homes burned to the ground and still 0% containment.